Richie Neal, Massachusetts 1st District, my congressman. So, Richie, chair of the Ways and Means Committee, is the economy going in the right direction right now?
Well, I think that it's almost the proverbial suggestion it's a tale of two cities. I think that the jobless claims, you've got to be encouraged by that. I think that they're now at record lows. I think the fact that you have 11 million jobs open in the country and you have still 8 million people who we would like to encourage to be looking, I think that those could augur well going into the future. However, I think that the labor participation rate surveys, they're still down by about 1.6, 1.7%. That should cause concern for all of us. Now, it's also been a very strong time for workers. They are now in a better position to pick the opportunities they want. Wages are increasing at a substantial pace. And largely, I think that for the workforce, for the first time in a couple of decades, they're in a stronger position. The other side of it is that there are still people on the sidelines who we would like to get back into the workforce. And not to miss the point that childcare was a big issue. A lot of women who left the workforce during the pandemic because they had to choose between trying to figure out childcare coupled with school closures, getting them back into the workforce quickly should be a challenge for us that we're able to meet. Now, inflationary pressures are for real, and you can't be dismissive of it, but you can say this. It is about the law of supply and demand. And the pandemic has created enormous trouble in our supply chains across the globe. And as demand has risen, it's been very difficult to meet the requirements of supply. Now, it's gotten better, so I think there's been some lag time in terms of journalism because there have been substantial improvements in just the last few weeks. But by the time that we catch up, that story is going to change once again. So I think that downward pressure on wages for two decades is being reversed. I think labor's in a stronger position. I think there's more support for unionism as we recognize it. And not to miss the point that when you consider that the unemployment rate is 4.4%, that is good news, even if at the moment it's hard to convince people of that.
And yet Biden's numbers go down.
Well, I think that he's being blamed for some issues that he can't control. And at the same time, I think that one of the realities of public life is that for presidents, that they have to adjust strategy based upon what perception creates. And I think that Joe Biden has had a steady hand. And I also think that's the reason he was elected, to promote the idea of a steady hand.
The Congressional Budget Office found that counter to what President Biden says, the Build Back Better package would add to the nation's deficit. Now, you're sitting there on Ways and Means, running Ways and Means and the rest. Should that be a concern?
Sure. And there's also a report that comes from what is known as the Joint Committee on Taxation, and you would remember that from your legislative days.
Indeed.
And that is one of the great authorities, and they have aligned with what the president has said. So the Congressional Budget Office, I understand that, but there is one place where there's a caveat that needs to be qualified, and it goes like this. We are suggesting that based upon what the Commissioner of the Internal Revenue Service has said, he has suggested that the mean is at least $400 billion for uncollected taxes, or for what is known as the tax gap. Now, he previously offered in an op-ed piece just a few weeks ago, he said that that number could be closer to $1 trillion. Now, here's how to think of this, if we can. People who are paid in wages in America through the traditional W-2 form, their compliance rate is above 95%. Mm-hmm. I mean, we have the highest tax compliance rate in the world. However, for people who are paid in stock options, capital gains, and dividends, that is a much harder challenge for the Internal Revenue to assess. And increasingly, that's how people at the very top are paid. So the IRS has been cut. by about 20 to 25% during the last 20 years. And they have not been able to invest in the necessary software. They have not been able to invest in the necessary personnel, nor have they been able to hire people who, in this day and age, would be able to contest some of these payments from people at the higher end. Here's the statistic that's really important. If you claim the earned income tax credit, you are more likely to be audited than if you are a multimillionaire. Now, I'm not making the argument here for class warfare. Instead of, I'm making the argument for tax compliance. And so we believe that that $347 billion differential from CBO to the White House will be accomplished by better tax collection.
So Republicans say that Democrats are spending a lot of money and that they're raising taxes. What's your response to that?
Well, I would respond by saying that in December of 2017, they borrowed $2.3 trillion for the purpose of giving a tax cut to the people at the very top. And what's wrong with that argument? It's very simple. The people at the top didn't need, nor were they asking for a tax cut at that time. So I think that when they talk about fiscal probity, the other point that I would make is that let's go back to Bill Clinton, who campaigned on balancing the budget. In the last 4 years of his administration, not only produced balanced budgets, it reduced the national debt, almost eliminated it, as Alan Greenspan was forewarning. That clock in New York was turned off, and surpluses were projected for the foreseeable future in huge numbers, trillions of dollars in surplus. And George W. Bush was elected, and there were two massive tax cuts in 2001 and 2003, totaling, again, about $2.5 trillion, while we subsequently fought two wars. So I think for our Republican colleagues and friends to offer advice and lecture on the idea of fiscal responsibility is really ill-considered.
So it's just so clear that they're the old-style Republicans, as you've just referenced, the Bushian Republicans, and the Trumpian Republicans. What do you make of that?
Well, I mean, I think it's more based on populism. There's no doubt about that. There's sort of an out-migration of a lot of working-class Democrats. And at the same time, we've attracted a lot of wealthier Republicans who have become Democrats, and the parties are changing. But I think the populist instinct that Trump embraced has really had a significant impact on those folks. And I don't buy into the idea that that they're all bad people. I do subscribe to the idea that their lives didn't really get a lot better given downward pressure on wages. And as I noted, that was about globalization. It was about skill set. It was about technology. And it was about the idea that people became wealthier doing finance than they did for manufacturing purposes. So a lot of those folks felt left behind. And let's be candid, Trump violated a lot of traditional Republican principles that the Bushes and Reagan and others would have scorned about balanced budgets or about the quest for free trade, follow free market resources. And believe me, the other part of it with Reagan and Bush, they were in favor, Bush Sr., they were in favor of infrastructure investment. And Trump had 4 years to do it and didn't do it.
Richie Neal, we are so proud to have our congressman as head of the Ways and Means Committee and doing the work you're doing. I just want to caution you that you can't burn the candle at both ends. I should talk, of course, about this, but you should. but you're working awful hard. So stay with it, and we'll be back for one more of these.
Thanks, Alan.